Welcome to Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Todd Jones, and today I'll be talking about teams. Recently, a comment from a veteran of parish ministry got me thinking about the importance of team. The participant stated, "Ministry is team." The half a dozen people listening in on the meeting agreed with the observation. At its heart, ministry is a team activity. Those who thrive in ministry have learned to navigate the waters of team processes. And I want to take the next several sessions to focus on the topic of team in the context of ministry. I'll cover everything from defining a team to the proper utilization of collaboration in teams. I'll explore the topics while being mindful of the context of both the small congregation and the large multi-staff church and school. I'll also recommend additional readings or resources when they fit the topic. So let's talk about the statement, ministry is team. Now, first I want to clarify that when I talk about ministry, I'm not talking about the pastoral ministry. I'm using the term ministry to describe the work of the local congregation, God's work, the care and feeding of his sheep, the proclamation of the gospel to the lost, the work of God's kingdom. Far too many pastors approach ministry as a single person activity. They focus on the activities that they must accomplish: writing a sermon, preparing a Bible study, visiting the sick, answering calls, and attending meetings. Those are all important tasks, but they only allow the minister to maintain, to survive. It's the minimum. In fact, it's less than the minimum. If the pastor only focuses on what he can do and should do, the ministry will actually decline, and he has placed himself on the path for burnout. The life of the church far exceeds the activity of the pastor. Even in the smallest of congregations, you have boards, committees, voters' assemblies. These are all teams. The pastor interacts with these boards and committees and the voters' assembly as a member of the team. His ability to be a good team player, to assemble a good team, dramatically influences the overall vitality of the ministry. However, even beyond the basic team functions, Scripture describes ministry from a team perspective. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Notice the language of people working together, people fitting together, this collaborative process of growth that Paul describes. That's team imagery. People working together as a team to accomplish the task of building up the body of Christ. And when that team process doesn't work, Paul says that the body of Christ is like an infant. It's tossed back and forth by false doctrines and gossips and rumors and the scheming of humanity. The stability, the strength, and the vitality of the church is dependent on teamwork. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, God placed the pastor at the center, the nexus of strengthening teamwork so that it results in a healthy congregation. Teamwork is not just an option for the pastor. It is a God-given process that the pastor uses to equip God's people for maturity and strength. Therefore, it is vital that we as pastors and as leaders in the church understand how to best develop teams in our ministry, how to make healthy, strong, vibrant teams in our ministry, how to be good team players, how to work collaboratively, how to assemble healthy, strong teams that are vibrant, how to allow teams to run in a life cycle that is holistic. As we develop these skills and put them into practice, we will build healthier congregations. So let's look at the different types of teams that exist within a church and then identify common traits that form the basic unit of study that we'll look at as we explore the topic of teams over the next few sessions. I've already pointed out that boards, committees, and congregational assemblies are teams. They're very different. A board may contain as few as 6 people, whereas a congregational assembly can be several hundred. But what holds these teams together, what unites them, is that they are governance teams. That is, they are teams that ensure that the membership's investment in the ministry is protected and utilized to achieve the ends for which they were intended. Governance teams almost always use a deliberative process to accomplish their work. The purpose of their gathering is to process information and make decisions. There are several challenges in working with governance teams. First, governance teams, by their very nature, involve power and authority. And power and authority do strange things to people. They can create a distortion bubble around an individual or group that prevents them from seeing reality clearly. I once worked with a congregation that contained a finance committee. And this congregation had a history of financial difficulties and a history of workers mishandling funds. In fact, some workers had actually been removed from the ministry and been prosecuted. So trust, especially when it involved money, was a difficult issue in this congregation. However, as I was consulting, I found that the finance committee was secretly siphoning off a portion of each week's offerings into a secret account. In fact, the account wasn't even in the congregation's name. When I met with the committee and the chairman to seek an explanation for the practice, which was unethical, if not illegal, the only explanation provided was that the committee was afraid the congregation would not be generous with its offerings if they knew how much money the congregation actually had. And that thinking isn't necessarily illogical, but it's wrong. It's wrong because it doesn't consider the morality or the legality of the issue chosen by the committee. It doesn't understand and consider the greater implications. There was a distortion bubble that prevented clear thinking. Now, what I found really interesting was that the committee contained 2 CPAs and an attorney who specialized in business law, as well as several small business owners. These people were intelligent individuals who were highly skilled in business practices and the management of finances. And yet they had come to a conclusion that was terribly wrong because of this distortion of group thought that can occur, especially within deliberative teams. The power and authority of a governance team can be a corrosive influence on the team process itself. Turning a governance team into a political process involving manipulation and the forming of coalitions to manage and maintain power rather than to care for the mission and ministry that God had given the congregation. A second challenge in working with a governance team is that the pastor and church worker who is given overall responsibility for the health of the ministry is excluded from power. Generally, the pastor or church administrator or school administrator are not voting members of the governance team. In fact, often the church worker is placed as a subordinate to the team, while at the same time that worker is expected to lead the governance team. The conflict between the capacity to lead and the expectation of leadership creates a great deal of stress within the worker and the church itself. This conflict is compounded by the fact that the tension of the ability to lead and expectation to lead vary dramatically from one church to another. In one congregation, a pastor might be expected to lead and empowered to lead to the point that he may even be uncomfortable with the leadership expectation. In another congregation, the pastor is expected to lead but is not empowered to lead, and in fact, the church has built walls to protect the pastor from the opportunity to lead, often because of bad past experiences. And then there are those congregations which have neither the expectation of pastoral leadership, and then there are those congregations which do not expect the pastor to lead and have not empowered the pastor to lead. Of course, taken from the other side, I've seen several bad situations where the pastor came in with an expectation, I'm the leader, and the congregation will follow me, and the congregation didn't expect him to be the leader and didn't want him to lead, and it created a great deal of tension. Third, deliberative teams can be challenging because their rules of operation are codified in the Constitution and bylaws. Often when the congregation or pastor wants to operate differently to function more organically, they're prevented from doing so by the congregation's bylaws. Because of the power and authority issues, changing bylaws can be very difficult and painful. Congregational leaders are often reluctant to change the bylaws until they are confronted with an issue that mandates the change. And unfortunately, there can be no worse time to change the bylaws than when the system is confronted with a necessary change. It is in those times of instability or uncertainty that people are most suspicious of the transfer of power and authority within the congregation. So deliberative teams can be very challenging. However, they cannot be ignored in ministry. As we talk about working with governance teams in this series, I will try to be mindful of the fact that there are a variety of congregational polities that you might find yourself in and address teamwork within that variety. Governance teams are just one type of team within a congregation. Perhaps the second most common are action teams. Now, action teams may not be called teams at all, but they are groups of individuals who are formed to accomplish specific tasks. In contrast to deliberative teams, action teams are often informal. They can be as informal as a group of friends who get together to accomplish some little task at the church or some little project on the side. It may be a self-appointed task. It may be a task that's been assigned to a group of individuals by another committee or even by the bylaws or constitution of the church. For example, you could have a Christmas program team, a team that's organized to produce children's Christmas programs. Action teams generally have specific action or outcomes that they work toward. They've been given a goal by another team, a group of individuals, and they work toward the accomplishment of that goal. Action teams are generally short-term. They don't require the formal structure of the governance or deliberative teams. Action teams almost always function as a cooperative team, though occasionally they will function as a collaborative team. Didn't know there was a difference? Well, there is, and it can be significant. We'll cover that in future podcasts, or you can just Google it. You may be frustrated to find that often the two are used interchangeably, but in so doing, the unique potential and challenges of the differences between cooperative and collaborative teams can be overlooked. The leadership challenges of an action team include keeping the team focused, timely communication, and healthy group process. Task teams are almost always the easiest teams to manage and to facilitate. The most significant challenge is that of managing difficult personalities or underperforming members. In a volunteer organization such as a congregation, there are few levers or incentives that can keep team members focused and functioning. Too often, congregational task teams remind me of my days back when I would have an instructor that would assign me to a group project. I hated group projects. I hated group projects because in the end, it was usually me and one other person that would do the work of the four or five on the team, and the project would suffer for the lack of involvement of all the members. Whatever achievement we accomplished in the project, it was equally shared, though the work was not equally distributed. In a congregation, it can often be that way where you have a paid staff member who is facilitating the task team and accomplishing 90% of the work, and four or five volunteers who add the last 10%. And too often, the work involved in managing the four or five far exceed the last 10% that they contribute to the project, and it leaves staff people being frustrated and wary of task teams. We'll talk about how to be more effective at working within a volunteer task team, how to release volunteer task teams to accomplish their task, and encourage and inspire them to be more engaged and involved as a team. The last type of team that we're going to talk about in ministry is a ministry team. A ministry team is a bit of a hybrid between a deliberative team and a task team. Ministry teams include youth ministries, children's ministries, educational ministries, adult education ministries. These are teams organized around a specific purpose, not a goal, not something they're going to accomplish in a specific day or a specific season, but an overall purpose. For example, youth ministry might be organized around the purpose of discipling the congregation's youth to be bold witnesses in their community. It's a broad purpose statement that serves to organize and focus the work of the team. In contrast to task teams, ministry teams function best as collaborative teams. The collaborative process becomes one of the most significant challenges in leading ministry teams. I'll devote an entire series of podcasts on that topic. For now, I just want to affirm that ministry teams are generally collaborative, and generally, in our congregations, we have difficulty with a healthy collaborative process. Ministry teams are challenging because they're complex. It is a complex mix of understanding the purpose in that ministry's context, organizing individuals who are passionate about purpose, developing a unified strategy, and formulating effective tactics that result in valued ministry. While the deliberative teams face the challenge of power and authority, the ministry teams face the challenge of ambiguity and complexity. In large congregations, second chair leaders, associate pastors, DCEs, family life ministers will most often spend their time either with ministry teams or task teams, and a senior pastor will spend most of his time with deliberative teams. In smaller congregations, the pastor will be very much involved in all three types of teams. In a school situation, the principal will be involved on all three teams as well. And on top of that, he'll have to deal with paid staff, which creates some greater opportunities, more leverage to accomplish things through the team, but also adds a whole nother layer of complexity in the relationships of the team itself. So I've introduced the three types of teams: governance teams, task teams, and ministry teams. While they're different, they have some common themes. First, they all involve team members. Now that sounds obvious, and it is. However, the selection process for each team member varies depending on the type of team you're talking about. The criteria for selecting an ideal team member varies within the specific type of team. Therefore, all three types of teams involve selecting potential team members, recruiting team members, training team members. All three types of teams share a common theme of purpose. The purpose varies dramatically between the types of teams and the specific team itself. But challenges include identifying the role of purpose for each team and keeping the team focused. And all teams have specific types of processes by which they make decisions and implement plans. The deliberative team has processes that are written down in the congregation's documents, the bylaws, constitutions, policy manual. The task teams have processes that are specific to their assigned task. And the ministry teams have processes that they organize themselves around based on their purpose and function. Identifying the team's process and improving the process, ensuring the process is healthy for the team function, is a critical part of leadership. And we'll be talking about that in the next podcast. While it is inherent as a process, each team involves relationships. Relationships hold the team members together. They define the team members' expectations of interaction with the leader. The function of those relationships varies from team to team, but all teams involve relationships. So you can see that ministry is team. And the better we can understand, facilitate, and function within the team environment, the better ministry will function, the healthier the church, and the more satisfied our ministry will be. In our next session, we'll talk about team selection within the context of the three types of teams in ministry. In preparation for the next podcast, I would encourage you to identify the teams that you lead and the teams in which you are a member. Think about each team. If it is a governance team, what are the team's expectations of you as a team member and a leader? If it is a task team, what is its goal? How well do the other members contribute to the goal? If it is a ministry team, what is its purpose? How well do the team's actions align with its purpose? If you would like to dig a little bit deeper into the subject, I would encourage you to read the book, The Ideal Team Player, How to Recognize and Cultivate the Three Essential Virtues by Patrick Lencioni. It's available on Amazon or other booksellers and can be downloaded as an audiobook. We'll explore Lencioni's three virtue framework, which he uses to describe a healthy team and an ideal team player, in our upcoming podcast. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to contact me through email at todd.jones@michigandistrict.org. Have a great day in the Lord.